Yeah. Oh, that's Jash.
Oh, it's Jash.
See if Jash can make it. Come on, Jash. You can do it. Come on. Come on, Jash. Come on. Be positive. I see a blank picture coming up.
That's not a good sign.
Oh, there he is. He can't hear us yet, though. Wait a minute. He's walking. Oh, no, he's not walking away.
No.
Now if we can get Barty. Barty's trying. Jash, you there? Jash? Hello, Jash. Let me get myself out of
here. He's waving back. He's holding his microphone.
Does it work? I guess you better go find the tinny one.
I'm gathering the rework didn't work too well this week.
The rework?
Remember he was going to take it to the factory?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was. Uh-oh. There's Barty trying again. Sorry. Come on, Barty. You can do it, Barty. Come on. Come on. Join the hangout. No pictures have moved yet. Oh. We may have to move over to Skype. Barty's been trying for like 15 minutes. Let me see if I can call him. I hope he has.
Okay, so we're playing Pictionary with Jash, and Barty can't.
Let me see.
First word, first syllable.
I can't see. I'm... What's he doing?
He's sticking his thumbs in his ears, waving his fingers at us, and making a funny face.
Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Jash, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, watch out! The bears are waking up. We review apps, and even more apps. And Barty tells us about IHateDialysis.com. All that and more on Late Night QRM. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire. Here's Jash, Barry J, Barty, and Michael.
Hey.
Hello.
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 Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
The rest of them bailed.
All right. Well, now I'm back in. The mic's actually, the light's flickering like it's supposed to, and threatening.
Yeah.
All it took was a threat from a .45 going right through the side of the case, and it decided I was right and it wanted to work.
And Bart.
That sounds effective.
And okay, that's Barty. And Michael, you're there too?
So we're just audio only?
Yeah, well, that's the only thing we can do with Skype, unless somebody wants to pony up the bucks to do conferencing and video.
I'm working at it.
Welcome to Microsoft.
I wouldn't pony up any bucks. We just got to figure out why Google Plus won't work for all of us.
Good question.
It's been troubling. Well, now that we're 38 minutes, I've been recording for 38 minutes, we should probably say, welcome to show number 44 of Late Night QRM.
Oh, God.
From the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
I am Jash.
Michael Goose.
I still go last.
Bart.
And I'm Michael, the virtual Uper from the man cave in the suburbs of Copper Harbor.
And it's, I have some news for you guys. I've changed my...
Don't put it like that, for crying out loud, after all this crap.
Well, I just wanted you to know that...
you have to leave?
No, but I have seen the light, and this November I am pulling the lever for Barack Obama.
Oh, well, geez, I thought it was something terrible, you know, like you're going to shoot yourself or something.
I've decided that the Republican candidates, none of them are any good.
So you don't like a guy named after a baseball glove?
So I will be voting for Barack Obama. I will be holding my nose and voting for Barack Obama.
I could always write in Ron Paul.
Well, I could.
That's what I did the last election.
But I'm beginning to see the light. I think Barack's right. A lot of the things he says. I think we do need the Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's too bad.
Mm-hmm. And, interesting.
I think he's doing the right thing, pulling everybody out of the wars. And after all, he did get Osama bin Laden. So, I think.
Does this have something to do with today's date?
Wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. The Navy SEALs were the one that got Barack.
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, it wasn't Barack. Barack was like, you know, kicking back in Washington, you know, sucking some Mai Tais or something.
No, he
you know?
Did it. It was all him.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Where's Anne Marie? Go get her right now.
Okay. Well, I'm done with
my... Where's Barry, and what have you done with him?
I'm done with my April Fool joke.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? As they always say, never talk politics with friends.
Well, I guess this show is over now.
All right, how about friends of a different political or opposing viewpoint?
Well, it is April 1st, and wow, that means, we've been in this, I always said we're starting our 15th year in this house. It was 14 years ago today that we went to closing on this beautiful QRM Studios in the wonderful town of Jaffrey, New Hampshire. And that's, I got to say, that's almost getting up to being the longest I've ever lived in one place. Other than being a kid back home, I'm getting close to that, though, that this is the longest place I've lived. Definitely since I left home. You know, I used to move around every 5 years.
Whether you wanted to or not?
Yeah.
that paying rent thing was a real hassle, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and for 8 years, that military thing, I don't know. They just said, you know, no, I like it here. I want to stay. No, you must leave.
Yeah, I can relate to that, Barry. I spent 20 years in the military doing the same damn thing.
Yep.
And it was the same way when I got out of high school. I was kind of shiftless for a while before I got married and decided I had to be serious about life and joined the military and actually earned a trade. But this house here, we've had this house since 2004. I worked on a contract at the National Guard base in Syracuse. Well, I was supporting three of them, the one here, the one in St. Louis, and one in State College, Pennsylvania. Right. And when that contract ran out, I went back to New Hampshire and worked there for a year and a half. But we kept the house. And as soon as I could get a job, I happened to be with BAE. Tony and I came back here and been here ever since. So, you know, as far as the longest address we've ever had, this is definitely it. Ever since I've been 18, I've never been anywhere more than like 3 or 4 years at a time.
Wow.
Well, I guess a couple assignments went 5 years, the one in Alaska and the one right before it in the desert of Edwards. Talk about extremes.
Really? Cold to heat. Jeez. Wow. Yep. So, anyway. I don't know how I'm going to handle the beginning of this. I think the show's going to begin back, because we had some good stuff, but I'll have to edit it down a little bit because there were some major pauses in the 38 minutes of trying to get communications up and running.
Yeah, not to mention, yeah, really. Not to mention a few superlatives may have slipped out while my stuff was taking a shit.
Yeah, I like that. Will you guys keep it down? I'm trying to talk to Barty.
There was two conversations going on, and you guys were blasted over Barty, and Barty's trying to explain to me what he's doing, and I couldn't hear him. I wish there was a way, and I'm sure there probably is a way to mix the streams, but... That's the first time I've ever used FaceTime with somebody else other than myself.
Well, now you got my ID. Bug me all the time.
Yeah.
Because I always have my iPad with me, so, you know, you can always hit me up at work or whatever.
Yeah. So, oh, you're allowed to take it to work. Oh.
Well, yeah, we have a, the main office area is unclassified, and then we have a separate building that's got all the classified labs and stuff. So if I don't answer, I'm probably over there, because obviously I can't bring it into there.
Yeah, my stuff goes into a locker until I get out.
Yeah, I'm luckier than that.
Anyway, so it's, the weather here in Jeffrey is kind of cold. We went back to winter for a little bit. So it was probably in the low 40s today, and it's raining, possibility of some snow, so we're back on the normal weather for this time of year.
Yeah, I'm sure Copper Harbor is the same way. That's the way we were here up in the Tug Hill Plateau. We had snow all day long, but it was like 40 degrees, so, and of course, none of it stuck. But, you know, it was just kind of weird to be looking out the window and seeing snow again after it had been, like, so stinking warm last week. You know?
Yeah. So how is it in Copper Harbor?
Well, today it's about 46, but Barty's right. It snowed quite a bit in the last week, and we had one of our spring storms. I have a running record. Just about every time I've gone out of state by myself in the last year, the power's gone out here. And I'm trying to remember what day it was. I think it was Tuesday. Being an administrator, I occasionally check on the networks, and I was at my mom's house and pulled up the networks, and they were all down in Copper Harbor. I'm like, oh my God, what happened? And then I said, oh, let's check the power outage grid. And I checked that, and sure enough, all the power from Copper Harbor just about down to Marquette, Michigan was out as of 7 in the morning. And it stayed down here in the harbor for about 12 hours.
Wow.
So we had for 2011, I think we had 24, 25 outages during the year.
Oh, that's a lot.
Wow. So, needless to say, there is a generator next to the house that's key start for my wife. And when it happens, all she's got to do is go out there and turn the key, and the whole house comes back up again.
That's nice.
And last year, the power company wanted this, which made it easy to do. But all of the microwave towers from here all the way down to the fiber point of presence are now battery backed up. So the internet stays up when everything else goes down. And the cool part is that most of the customers go away. So you have really good bandwidth when the power goes out.
Well, you're booming in here tonight. It's a excellent connection.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. So, well, first topic on here, bear stories. I think two of us have bear stories. Mine's short and sweet. All I can tell you is evidence that he has returned this spring, and he's a little bit early. Went and looked outside, and the shepherd's crook was down, bent down to the ground practically. And
that was a nice picture you put on Facebook.
Yeah.
And the bird feeder was in the woods. I did actually find it about 15 feet into the woods. So that means he's here, and I've got the Canon camera ready with the long lens on in case he returns sometime during the daylight hours. So, and Michael, I believe you have a bear story to tell.
Well, yeah, and it's a rather embarrassing one. After our discussion, like, was it 2 weeks before show 42? I think it was. But I'll claim fatigue because I had left Batavia, Illinois, which is where my aunt and uncle live, and one of my cousins, early in the morning, and I'd been driving all day. I stopped at my mom's place on the way back up and just checked one more time, make sure she didn't need anything, and then I'm driving up, and I get up within about 110 miles of Copper Harbor, and I'm on this long stretch of just nothing road, and it's known for moose and everything else. But it's that particular stretch didn't have any snow on it. It was pretty, the trees don't have any leaves on it yet. So it's kind of a barren landscape. And as I'm driving up on this intersection where there's a train track that crosses, I see this big black thing moving through the woods. And I'm like, oh, I know what that is. So I start slowing down. And sure enough, this big adult bear comes ambling out of the woods, sits down in the middle of the road like it's posing for me to take a picture. And I grab for my point and shoot, and it's buried under my luggage, so that didn't work. So I grab my iPhone while I'm listening to one of the This Week in Tech shows and hit the instant photo button and hit the camera and nothing happens and hit the camera and nothing happens and hit the camera and nothing happens. And the bear finally goes, well, if you're not going to take my picture, and it gets up and ambles away, and then I remember, oh, you got up. Swipe it now. So I swiped the camera up and I got sort of a picture of the bear's butt as it was going into the woods, but not a very good shot.
Now, I think it should be just a push button. The swipe up
thing. I like the old one better. Yeah. You could, because you still had to do the double click to get that camera up. It didn't come up by default. You hit the double click and then the camera would come up, you hit that button, you had an instant camera. This swipe thing in a moment's panic just did not work.
No. And if you don't hit it just right, the swipe doesn't work. It's better as a tap, or even if it's a double tap on it. So, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was funny because it was just a couple of weeks ago. I didn't even know how the thing worked, and you're the one that told me it's a swipe now. So
yeah. Well, I was doing it by instinct. You know, the instinct I learned on 5.01, because that was a new feature. Or was it 5? It's new with 5. Yeah, it might have been 5.01 that they did the double tap. Hmm. But yeah, it was rather embarrassing.
So bears are out, people. So
yep,
that means bird feeders should come in, unless you live here.
And don't leave food in the car.
Yes, definitely. And close garage doors when it gets dark, because you don't want to be surprised if you go out in the garage. So anyway, so the next topic, real quick, first brew update. It's in the bottles. And it's now got its 2 week of carbonation period at room temperature. So, but I did sample a little bit of it as it was as I was.
Of course, you did
checking the specific weight for it, and it
quality control.
It wasn't bad. It tasted like pretty good flat beer.
About as good as flat beer can taste.
Yeah, so I'm hoping the carbonation part goes well. Well, when you put it in the bottles, you add a little bit more corn sugar, or I guess it is. I don't know what it's corn syrup, probably corn syrup, but it's a powder, very fine powder.
That's a wonderful thing for a diabetic to be adding to one of his beverages.
Well, the yeast is supposed to take care of it for me and change it to alcohol.
Well, as a diabetic, type 2, not type 1, but I still had to kind of like stick that in there.
Yeah, well, you know, as a type 1 who has a pump, all I have to do is go pump, 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 pump. If I want to drink something sweet, okay.
Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of intriguing, to be honest.
Now, of course, don't let my doctor hear me say that. So that's the update on the first brew, and actually the bottling went well. Actually, it was quite easy, and my capper worked well. Of course, this is the first time for me, so it's kind of neat. So I actually put a picture of that up on Facebook too, so you can see the bottles all sitting in their boxes waiting. So
when are you going to be sending us an invite?
Soon, at least 2 weeks. So, next on the topic, we got some apps. Last week we reviewed Angry Birds in Space, or as we like to say, Angry Birds in Space! Anyway. Now to get that back to the level it's supposed to be at, screw it. Totally screwed. Okay. If there's too much echo. Oh, there it is. Anyway. There's all sorts of noises coming out. So, Angry Birds in Space. Let me turn my echo down a little bit. It had 10 million downloads in 3 days.
Dang.
10 million downloads.
I heard that they're going to now come out with an animated feature of Angry Birds.
They are. A movie. A full-length movie.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Now, I would really like to find out what people think about the state of Hollywood, that they're taking stinking video games and making movies out of them. I mean, it was bad enough when they did things like Transformers and things like that, you know, but now they're taking like mobile device applications, games, and making movies out of them. Are they like so dried up with any kind of new thought that's what they're down to?
You know, have you seen all the reboot movies that are out?
No, to be honest, I really kind of gave up on Hollywood a few years ago. I don't really watch a lot of movies. You know, but the thing is, it costs you like $20 for a couple of people to go watch a movie in a carpeted corridor, to, you know, and you could probably buy the frigging disc for less and watch it in your own home and be able to laugh and, you know, drink what you want and eat what you want and things like that. To me, the theater experience was great when we were all children and theaters were actual movie houses. You know, they were these great big palatial places with balconies, and they had curtains that would open up before the movie started to expose the screen. They had this huge screen and this booming sound system. And now you're in like some kind of a carpeted hallway, crammed with the uncomfortable little chairs, and you're expected to sit there for, you know, a couple hours and put up with all this crap.
Some of those theaters are smaller than my family room.
You know, and like, you know, of course, you know, I know that there's inflation and things like that we have to think about and be appreciative of that, you know, that's driven the price up. But I remember as a kid going to watch a Saturday matinee and getting change back from a buck from my ticket and candy purchases, you know, and it's like, now I got to shell out $15 for a ticket. You know, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I haven't been to a movie in a long, long time, although I have to admit that if you go to a more modern day theater, there's one in Merrimack that has the stadium seating, which isn't bad, but it's better than the older theaters where they decide, you know, it used to be one theater and they decided to make it into a megaplex place with 15 theaters, but it's all they did was subdivide the original theater into 15 little rooms.
Yeah, right. With crappy speakers.
Or you go someplace like the place Josh goes, which I still haven't had a chance to go to yet. What's that called, Josh?
Chunkies.
Chunkies, that's
Chunkies,
it.
Chunkies Movie Theater. Laid out very much so stadium style, except that on each tier, there's a long rectangular table, and pulled next to the long rectangular table, which is perpendicular to the screen, are the tables perpendicular to the screen, are chairs on wheels from Lincoln Town Cars and Cadillacs.
Are you serious?
And when you get seated,
from a stinking Lincoln,
right? And but they're like brand new leather, and they recline. And when you're pulled up to the table, you turn a little light on, and a waiter or waitress will come over and hand you your menu, and you can order. I think last time I got steak tips, a pitcher of beer, you know, a baked potato, a tossed salad, the whole nine yards. And they serve that to you while you're watching the film, but they don't interrupt you. You know, you watching it just ends up on the table. You know, so they go away, they dim the lights in the theater. It's awesome. And then when you want to see the movie, because the chairs are on wheels, you just spin it. Spin your chair while you're sitting in it, so you're facing the movie theater. Recline the seat back because it does recline. Sit there and drink your beer with a full belly of steak tips and enjoy the film.
Now, where is this at? The actual, you said this is in Merrimack?
No, this is in Nashua.
Where about?
There's one in Nashua. If you go down, exit 6, right. Actually off Coliseum Avenue. Yep, okay. Coliseum Avenue. It's next to what used to be the old Montgomery Wards on Coliseum Avenue, and but it's a great theater. And then there's another one in Pelham, New Hampshire.
Is that down by where Hannaford's is?
Yeah, just up from it.
Yeah, yep. It used to be a Sears, and it was a Bradley's, and then it was, what the heck was that other budget chain? There was another store that was in there for a while.
No, it was a Monkey Ward's. Well, that was the last sign that was on the front of that little strip mall, was a Monkey Ward's. And then from there to the left of that store, it's where they opened up the Chunky's movie theater. And then to the right of that is Planet Fitness.
Interesting.
So you watch a movie, workout, or actually work out, go and watch a movie, drink a beer, and fall asleep.
That's great. Well, it's been a long time since I lived in Nashville. I used to live off exit 6, and we used to always go come across the highway over to the Hannafords all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was Ames over there for a while. The Sears store had become an Ames.
Right. Yeah, that's long since gone the way of the dodo.
Yeah, well, I left there in, I guess, 2004 is when we moved out. We moved over here to Central New York at that time. So, yeah, I got twice as much property for half as much sales property tax. It was a great deal.
Oh, I easily believe that. I can easily believe that. I was just talking to friends of mine down in the Carolinas, explaining to them, as far as houses and prices and so forth and pay scale, depending upon, what it is that you're qualified to do. And when they said, we have a 4-bedroom ranch on 5 acres and, 2.5 bathrooms, it's in a nice little rural area. And yeah, it was about $74,000. I'm like, the same place up here would easily scratch $250,000. Easily.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're kidding me. And I'm like, nope. It's expensive to live here.
Yeah, no, it sure is. There's the house that we had in Nashua, we bought it. I think it was like around 1.25. And we lived there for, I guess, about 4 years and sold it for 2.5. And it was a 900 square foot 2-bedroom house with no garage and a postage stamp piece of land that just barely covered it. I had barely enough land to put in an above ground pool on it. And we built decks to connect the house and the pool so we could just go straight to the pool at night. That was nice. But anyway,
900 square feet and 2 bedrooms?
Yeah, the 2 bedrooms were upstairs, and then we had like a living room, a dining room, and a kitchen downstairs. And there was like this.
Sounds like a cape.
Yeah, it was a small New England cape house. And the house we bought out here has got 2,000 square feet, 2 living rooms, 4 bedrooms, a garage I can fit 4 cars in with 2 doors, and almost 5 acres of land. And I paid less than $100,000 for this.
Wow.
And my taxes over there, my taxes were like around $4,000 a year. Where here, it's like $1,500 a year. But, I'm way out in the woods and have no services here, so it's not like I can call an ambulance and have it here in minutes.
But I'm out in the woods and have no services here, and I'm paying over $10,000
a year for property taxes. Well, aren't you in a state park, Monadnock State Park or something?
No, I'm close to it, but it's just our great town who doesn't know how to manage money.
We barely have town. Our town has a post office that is currently being threatened with closing. We've got 2 churches. We had 3 bars, but 1 burned down, so now we're even. 2 churches and 2 bars. And that's it. We don't even have a blinking yellow traffic light.
Well, we do have a blinking yellow light here.
This is kudos to Michael. And Michael, you'll appreciate this. I threw it on the show notes here. Yesterday, I was running through my Roku, and there's a channel on here called Crackle. So on Crackle, which is free movies, it's like sort of like Netflix, but older, some older films. I came across a movie called Escalada in Da Mountain, Damountin. And I went, what the hell is this? And I thought it was like a Spanish film. And I'm like, well, my Spanish is big time rusty, so I'm not watching it. I thought, wait a minute, it's about deer hunting in Copper Harbor, Michigan. I thought, ooh, cool. I wonder if it's shot there.
Put that in the show notes. I want to look that up.
I did, and I saw. I well, someone just erased it, though.
No, I put it. But up anyhow, top.
Hey, Barry, quit erasing crap.
I'm putting them in order as we speak. Oh,
you got to put it down under, oh, well, under Joel's name. He's got nothing under his name.
No, names go away when I put the show notes out.
So I went ahead and I watched this movie, and it's got Jeff. Is it Jeff Bridges? Jeff Daniels. Sorry, Jeff, not Bridges. Daniels in it. And I'll tell you what, it was a fun movie about this family that have this hunting cabin up in the mountains of Copper Harbor. And they talk about going, oh, you got to go north of the bridge, you know. And then the accent, the colloquialisms, all of it. And, but it was shot there. And I fell in love with the land and the layout. Michael wasn't in it. I think he drove by in one scene in his Jeep, but he didn't know it.
Well, if anybody needs emergency help, he was probably driving by.
Yeah, the original the original movie is called Escanaba in the Moonlight. Actually,
that's it. Escanaba. Okay.
Yeah. Escanaba in the Moonlight
comes out.
Yeah, it's about the buckless Uper.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
The buckless Uper. Exactly. Yeah, you got to see this. It's awesome.
And I watched this movie, and Debbie came in and took a glance at it. She goes, "My God, it's beautiful there." And I said, "I think it's shot in Carver Harbor." And sure enough, she said, yeah. I said, and then the next thing out of my mouth, I wonder what the gun laws are like over there, because I'm thinking about a new retirement location to get the hell out of New Hampshire. Well, literally. I mean,
I don't know about Copper Harbor, but the gun laws here are pretty lax, because I live on a road that turns to dirt right after my house, and there's only four houses on the road, and you can fire your firearms any damn time you please. You want to burn some brush in your backyard? There ain't no one around to complain. You just want to have a fire, just to, you know, burn some burgers or whatever? No one's going to complain. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of living out here. It's like totally free, nice and quiet, peaceful. Nobody bothers you. So
I absolutely love the idea. New York, the whole idea of New York State scares the living bejesus out of me, to be honest with you.
It is a very fascist state, man. It is very fascist.
Right,
up here, we don't get affected by it much because nobody comes out here. The only people that come out here are like snowmobilers in the winter and four-wheelers in the summer. You know, and none of them really want to hang around long. They just, you know, want to run through the woods and stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. I literally, when I looked at this, I said to my wife, well, more than one occasion, I said, once the youngest one is out of high school and is away in college, or actually is looking at the Air Force. Once that's done, I have, you know, so I, as much as I hate the idea of leaving New Hampshire, I'm leaving New Hampshire for the woods somewhere else.
The only parts of New Hampshire that's really nice to live in anymore is the north, but it's so hard to make a decent living up there.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, the only problem is where the hell do I go to make a living? got to pay for it somehow.
Yeah, well, where I'm at, it's an hour commute to either Syracuse or to Rome, where I'm presently working. But, of course, the commute to Syracuse sucks. The commute to Rome is mostly down on a two-lane road, and it takes an hour because I can't haul ass because the road is so twisty, and there's deer and wild turkeys and an occasional cow. You know, so you gotta watch yourself. But it's a very pleasant, pretty drive all the way, all during the year. The only boring part is when you actually get to Rome itself, you know. But, you know, it takes a while to get anywhere from out here. But to me, it's kind of worth it. My wife has had a hard time adjusting because she used to just love bopping down to Lowell and taking the commuter rail into downtown Boston, you know, and bumming around town all day, you know, being up here. You know, she has to drive wherever she wants to go, and there's no Boston nearby.
No, it doesn't sound like it. Yeah, definitely. Either that, or I was thinking, besides that, Montana. I was looking at the idea of Montana, too, because I thought, I wonder, I got to look. I just have to start researching this. I got about 3.5 to 4 years, and then I find out what the job situation's like and can contemplate a pickup, pack up, and go.
Going to be a dental floss tycoon.
Yeah.
I think Barty would get that.
Yeah. Dental floss. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's fun. Sorry, go ahead.
There's a Frank Zappa song about going to Montana soon. Going to be a dental floss tycoon.
Yeah, moving to Montana soon. Yeah, I love that. I love Frank Zappa.
Wherever it is, it's going to be on the Canadian border, I can tell you that much.
Well, Canadian border is about 2.5 hours drive from here. Mm-hmm. So
you're pretty much straight across from us, I guess.
Right. But
yeah, pretty much.
I mean, heck,
pretty much.
The only downside on the Canadian border. Still, sorry, go ahead.
The downside to living here at this particular area is that I'm on an area called the Tug Hill Plateau, which seems to be a slanted piece of land pointing towards Lake Ontario. So we get a lot of the same kind of snow effect that Coppa Harbor gets, you know, and in the wintertime. Well, this year we had a total of 148 inches of snow, which is a record low for this area. Our average tends to be about 310 to 320 a year, you know. So 148, it's like, you know, we're like worried about droughts and stuff. But we'll get enough lake effect rain that we won't have to worry about that. Yeah, that's the biggest downside is just the snowfall.
Well, all I know is New Hampshire's nice, and I like it here, but when it comes time to retire, I don't think this is the place to be. Because
I agree with you.
The property taxes don't go down.
That's my home state. I love it, but I tell you what, I'd rather live in a fascist state than live with those taxes.
Granted, it's the only tax I pay, but, you know, it's still... Yeah.
This is getting too doggone expensive to scratch out a nice little life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you know the thing is that the taxes are one thing, but the property values are like driven to such insane levels because you know that house I sold in Nashua wasn't worth crap, you know, and the fact that I got 2.5 for it, I was kind of embarrassed. You know, it's like you got to be kidding me.
Well, you know? Barty, I got to tell you, it may be worth crap now because property housing prices are dropping.
I did get out at a good time. I have to admit.
Yeah, you did move out at a peak time.
I wish I could say that I was really smart and figured this out and did it, and, you know, but it was just happenstance. You know, it was kind of like after the fact, I was like, I looked at my wife as, you know, we dodged a friggin' bullet.
Well, you know, I've talked with my wife about this. You know, if you're moving and you're going to take the money out of your house and put it into another house, it really doesn't matter what the price range is, unless, of course, you're underwater with your mortgage because you still have to pay that. But you know, the prices of the houses here they're higher, and unless you're going to move to an area where the house prices are lower, you're going to end up paying for your next house anyway. You know, if you move to a comparable place, well, the houses are going to be the same price as the houses you left, so it's kind of break even there.
But
you know, and then you also have to worry about if you do move to a place where houses are cheaper, you better hope that, or you better make that the final resting place for you, because trying to move back to some place that the houses are expensive, you know, that's almost an impossibility. You know, it would be very difficult for me to go back down to the DC area right now if I had to. I'd probably end up living on the western side of West Virginia just to afford a home.
Oh, do it some moonshine and in the evenings. Yeah, I get it. Well, you look at the amount of money you'd save not having to have so many shoes.
That's right. And I got a bunch of jeans with holes in them, so I'm all set.
Fit right in, Barry J.
Oh my God!
Let's move on to Photoshop. What is this Photoshop Touch note you have in here?
Photoshop
Barry?
Touch is the new app for the iPad, it costs $9.99, I believe. But it is a almost a complete Photoshop version for the iPad, and you can do pretty much everything you can do in regular Photoshop.
Are you serious?
No, it's very good. Now
this isn't like an April 1st thing, right?
No, you can go. I've got a link. You can go to the store and take a look at it. They just came out with it. They came out with it about around the same time that the iPad 3 came out. So And so far, you know, I've played around with it a little bit, and I'm going through the tutorials bit by bit, and it's like, this is a very nice tool. Now, there are limitations on the size of the print or the photo. The
image size, I would imagine.
Image size, yeah. And the resolution of the image.
I would imagine that you really couldn't deal with a really large megabytes of a raw image file or anything,
no,
right?
No, but if you're dealing with stuff that, you know, you want to
so fix basically up, a point and shoot is what you're talking about.
Well, you can even the other cameras, you know, as long as you know you're not going to get a high resolution, it's a higher resolution as you want.
So if you're not trying to suck in images from like if I tried to suck in things from my D7000, I would probably run into problems because there's not that much memory in an iPad.
You might. There is a limitation. It may convert it down for you if you try to suck it in.
I see.
But it's good for, like, if you're putting stuff up on the web and you want to fix things up. Or
so it's probably awesome if you're shooting pictures with the nice new camera that the iPad 3 has.
Exactly. That is...
okay. So now it's starting to make sense.
But it's Photoshop. It really is Photoshop, and it has a lot of the features that you can do on regular Photoshop on the iPad. And for the average user who just wants to, you know, lighten up their shots or, you know, fix their shots and images.
Take out the red eye.
Take out the red eye. And you can, there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's, I think at least 10 tutorials. I've gone through 4 of them so far, but for $9.99, hey, it's not a bad, app.
I'll have to check that out. Cause it does sound kind of interesting.
Yeah. And then
that's what, I put in the show notes that I picked up a new iPad 3. I picked up a Wi-Fi model, and unfortunately, by the time people get to hear this show, they won't be able to take advantage of the deal that I took advantage of. I went into a Best Buy to purchase mine, mainly because they were offering a free hotspot and free activation. If you got a Wi-Fi enabled iPad, you didn't have to go buy the one that had the 4G built into it. So you know you could save yourself like the extra $130 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because I was interested in getting one. I had bought my wife one a week ago, and it was really a pretty nice unit. I really love the Retina display, but to get back towards the Photoshop Touch kind of conversation, it does have a much improved camera. I think it's even better than the one that the iPad 2 had.
Definitely.
Oh, much better. Much better.
So, well, the original iPad, I don't think even had a camera, right?
No.
And the iPad 2 had
1 megapixel.
A token camera.
Yeah.
And this one here is actually, I haven't taken any pictures with it yet because I just haven't really been outside much with this thing, but the hotspot that Best Buy was offering was a Verizon one, and I was able to get 4G signals all over the place with it. You know, we were driving home after picking it up, and you know, of course, I had the thing on even if I was going to use it or not, just to see where I would get 4G and 3G, and I got 4G almost all the way half home before I had to drop down to 3G. And of course, around here, there's no cell service at all, except at my house, because the company buys me a Verizon cell network extender that I can hook up to my home broadband, so I can be on call. They're wonderful that way.
Well, I told you the story about mine. I have one of those cells with AT&T that they used to sell, but as soon as the iPhone was offered on Verizon, suddenly I got a coupon in the mail from AT&T for my free microcell. And it doesn't cost me anything, and it's in my house now and connected to the internet. Competition is a good thing.
Yeah, the company bought me a Verizon one so I could use my company BlackBerry from home.
That's cool.
You know, because it was like, well, I can't be on call because I don't get a cell service. And they says, well, you can hook this. Do you have broadband there? And says, yeah, I got DSL. And I says, well, here, take this. You can hook it up to that. So I get 3G with it. Not that I need it because I have Wi-Fi, but you know, through the DSL. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was really kind of cool that I could connect here. And so, the little hotspot thing kind of works really well. Yeah. So you know, I think that I'll probably start checking out this Photoshop Touch thing and see how well it works, because I think that might be kind of handy thing to have around, especially since you can travel around and take pictures and modify them on the road and things. That would be kind of cool, and be able to send them places.
Yeah. Now, is the hotspot is that cost? Is that a monthly fee, Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that is $50 for a 5 gig limit.
Okay. Okay.
Well, you know, $50 plus this fee, that fee, screw you here, screw you there, you know. Yeah, so yeah. I'm throwing the paint $100 a month for a $50 fee.
And can you turn it on and off? Because the one I went ahead and got the wireless on my iPad, because, and the only reason I got it is because you can turn it on and turn it off, but at a month at a time. But so if I'm going somewhere where I know there may not be Wi-Fi, I can go ahead and turn it on right on the iPad, and I still have service. Yeah.
My first gen AT&T 3G account was like that. You could turn it on and off at will. But I found out I never really ever turned it off, because there was really very seldom did I ever go anywhere that I couldn't get a 3G signal on AT&T. So, you know, I was always using it someplace.
Okay.
And so I imagine that even if this is possible to be turned on and off, I probably will never turn it off, because I'll use it on the road. Because I can use this thing in the car. It has a USB cable, and well, both of our vehicles have USB connectors, so I can plug it in and keep it charged up. I guess it's supposed to last like 4 or 5 hours on a battery charge, but you know, I haven't tested that yet. I think that's really kind of cool, and it's too bad that people can't hear about it, because it's going to expire this weekend. So. But I guess if they keep an eye on it, it's bound to come back again. But, you know, a free device with free activation, I really couldn't pass that up. Mm. Especially since I traded in a first-gen iPad on it and got, like, I think it was like $160 back on it. I didn't have the charger with me for some reason. So I could have gotten like $200 if I'd had the charger and the connector, the USB cord.
You actually traded in your iPad?
A first gen one, a first gen Wi-Fi only iPad.
To where? To Verizon?
To Best Buy.
Oh, Best Buy. They have that thing where you can trade them in.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They went ahead and let me trade that in, and they saved me $130 from buying a Verizon enabled 4G iPad, and let me buy one that was Wi-Fi only, and they gave me the free hotspot and the free hotspot activation. So all I got to do is start making the monthly payments, which I was already doing for AT&T. But AT&T was like $30 for like a 3 gig limit. So I'm paying an extra $20 plus all the bullshit screw you fees to get a couple of extra gigs a month. So I figure it's a wash.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's a pretty good deal, especially with Best Buy.
You know, yeah, because you know, I bought my wife a Wi-Fi only one, and I thought, well, if I could get one that had 4G that she could ride on, then we'd both be good. And the hotspot thing is better because I can hook up a few more devices.
Yeah. So I see you also got an Apple TV 3, or the new
that
Apple
thing
TV?
Is a pretty slick little box.
Yeah.
I haven't played with AirPlay yet with it.
Okay.
Most of what I've done with it is just knock it around. I watched some high def podcasts with it that look really nice. You know, free podcasts that you can watch. I do have a Roku. I think it's the XD model, and I'll probably be using that a lot less, because the Apple TV 3 does all the same things that the Roku does. You know, but this is the older Roku, not the latest one that they came up with just recently. Like I said, I think it's an XD model, and you know, which I like. I think it's a fine little device and stuff. But you know, both devices do the same thing. Where my before, it made sense having a Roku and an Apple TV, because mine was a first gen, and you had to pile all the crap onto the first gen TV to be able to watch it and stuff. So one of the things that I'm kind of intrigued with toying with the Apple TV 3 is you can mirror, if you have the developer's edition of Mountain Lion installed, which I do on an iMac here, you can take and mirror your screen to your TV through your Apple TV. And I'm kind of thinking, that could be kind of neat. I don't really know what kind of practical purposes I could put that to, but being a geek, I think that's like fun.
The only reason why I'm looking at it is because, A, it's pretty cheap, $99, and The AirPlay looks like it would be something interesting, because I use Downcast for downloading all my podcasts and videocasts, and I'm I would say I'm about 50-50 with audio and video podcasts now, And I don't mind watching them on the iPad and stuff, but, you know, if I'm sitting in the family room, it would be nice to be able to watch those things on the big screen TV. Yeah. And the audio play seems like that would be a great way to do that.
The only caveat I would say is if you don't have an iPod Touch or an iPad, get one. Because the little stupid remote that comes with it sucks.
Yeah.
So, if you have an iPod Touch or if you have an iPad, you can download that free remote app, and the remote app makes it really nice. It makes it much better. That little aluminum thing is cute looking, but it sucks.
Yeah, they've got the remote for the iPhone as well. I keep stepping you. I said they have that remote program for the iPhone as well.
Yeah, right. It works on all iOS devices, and it does make life a lot easier with it. I was playing with that, and I thought, wow, this is really kind of cool, you know. But I don't always want to have my big iPad sitting on my lap while I'm watching TV shows. So the Touch is really kind of about the size of a little bit bigger than an average remote, and it's prettier, you know. So you can play with it and stuff like that, and do other things, you know. Mm. So it's kind of neat. But the remote that comes with it is the same one that you could upgrade your past two Apple TVs to, you know, because the first one came with that little white one, you know.
Okay.
But that little aluminum thing, it just bites.
No.
I hate it.
Of course.
I hate it with passion.
I've been, and this is why I'm torn on whether I want to get one or not, is because I've been using the Xbox with the Kinects. And, of course, they keep adding things to watch on Xbox now. And as a matter of fact, I watch Netflix on the Xbox, and the nice thing about that is you know, I turn the thing on, and then after that the Kinect comes up to speed, I just sit there and go Xbox, Netflix, and it brings up Netflix.
And then it's like, tried that
show for, you know, show next, and then they show you all your things in your queue. Well, you can look all over the place, but, you know, I pile things up on my instant queue, and they'll show you all your things, and then they'll put a number underneath them, so it's like play 5, and then it comes up and plays 5, and then when that episode's done, you can just go Xbox next episode.
I'm one of those people that does not have Netflix, because I was one of the ones that had the Netflix that had the $8 a month plan with two discs a month and unlimited streaming.
Yeah.
And then they told me I was going to have to pay twice as much money to keep the same service that I had been faithfully paying them for years for. Yeah. And I said, screw you. You're not doing that to me. So I canceled my account, and I've never been back. You know?
Well, I still wonder. Of course, they haven't said anything, but I'm wondering whether that is Netflix that was doing that, or whether Hollywood was finally coming in and saying, "Hey,
I think it was Netflix, because they're still offering the same thing for twice the price. Mm. You can go through and spend like what is it $16-17 a month and get discs come to your house and be able to stream, or you can go for $8 for just disc or $8 for just streaming.
Right.
So I think it was just a business decision to squeeze money from the old plums, you know. And it's kind of like, how many people were really in one of those two boats, you know? I mean, out of all the customers they had, how many of them were just streamers, and how many of them were just disc people, and what percentage were people that actually did both, like my wife and I? We used to get discs coming a couple of times a month all the time, and when I was on the road, I would stream TV shows and movies and things like that, and it was nice, you know? It was okay. But I just didn't like the idea that I'd been a faithful customer for so many long years, and I had been with them pretty much from when they started, you know? And this is like, all of a sudden, it was like a slap in the face. It's like, screw you. You aren't worth shit to me anymore. I want twice as much money out of you, because I'm going to separate these into two separate plans, and you're going to pay for two plans, or you're not going to get them. And I was like, well, guess what? I'm not going to get them. So, I mean, I just kind of felt kind of used. And just kind of figured, screw it, I'm not going to bother with that. And, you know, I do kind of miss it, because I do like to be able to stream things when I'm on the road, because I really didn't stream much when I was at the house. But it was nice to have discs come in the mail, you know. If there was some movie I was curious about, you know, we could go ahead and put it on the list and have it come in the house. And, you know, if we didn't like it, we weren't out anything,
right?
You know. Yeah. So
my only problem is I haven't found a service that's as good. And yeah, I pay, well, now I'm paying $17 a month. You know, like, even going with the Apple, you got to pay per episode.
And, yeah, I've never done that.
And so I don't know whether, you know, I don't know which is a better deal.
That's kind of the reason I got into the Roku, was because I could go out on the internet and try to find free stuff to watch.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I hate paying money for old stuff.
Man.
You know, it's like, why should I have to pay a fee to watch stuff that, you know, you can always get on, like, TV Land if you're willing to wait for it to come around?
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. Except for here, you can watch it when you want, and that's the main reason I like it. Because it's like, you know, I'll be home on a Friday night or something, and it's like, okay, everything else on the DirecTV, where I'm paying $137 a month for, sucks. so let me try Netflix.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always kind of liked it when I was like sitting in some hotel somewhere in Bopunk Town, who knows where, you know, like Mountain Home, Idaho, you know, and you're like, well, I don't want to go out anywhere because there's nowhere to go. I got 2 hours to kill before bedtime. What am I going to do? Hmm. You know?
And that's what the iPad's great for, too. Instead of sitting there watching it on a laptop.
Yeah.
It's much nicer to watch those movies on the iPad. When you're away.
Especially now that it's 1080p.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I actually went in to the Apple store and blew right past them. I haven't seen it
yet.
Well,
my wife and I, we have this budget plan where we kind of project what Apple's going to be selling, and if we're going to be interested in buying it, we start paying ahead on our AFEES accounts. You know, we figure out, well, okay, it's going to come out in about a year, so we need to put this much, maybe have this much money available on whatever credit card we're going to use at AFEES, and we put that much money aside a month and pay off onto the credit card, and maybe if we get extra money, we pay more, you know, and get the balance down to amount where when the device comes out, we just wait for AFEES to get it and go pick it up tax-free.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's
real nice.
Well, because you know, you remember they used to have like the Star Card when you were in the in the force. Well, they also have something now called Take It Home Today, which is an additional credit card at a lower interest rate that it was initially for furniture, but as the as time's gone on, they keep expanding and expanding what things you can buy on that card, and they've expanded it at first to Apple computers because a lot of people in the military wanted Apples. And, you know, they didn't really want to just buy cheap PCs. So they added Apple computers to that. And then when the iPad came out, they didn't even hesitate. That was, like, immediately added, you know. But some of the things, it's like you have to spend, like, a minimum of $400 on something to be able to take it on that card. Because it's supposed to be for the bigger ticket items like furniture and appliances and things. You know,
that's pretty easy to do with an Apple device.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what you pay for. You can buy like a cheap little $400 plastic box that's going to break in 6 months, or get a nice aluminum device that's going to last for 10 years. You know,
take it easy. Some of us are using cheap plastic box pieces right now.
I wish you could hear some of the comments I made to Barry earlier when we were on FaceTime, because he was saying, "Boy, it's too bad Jash can't hear this," because I was making like Jash and his cheap plastic Windows machines. So, I've been there, Dash. You know, there was a time in my life where the only computers I owned were the ones that I could buy all the pieces and build myself, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to be at a point now where I don't have to buy junk like that anymore. I can buy decent pieces of equipment that really work. So, but hey.
Well, thank you. Now I have something to look forward to. No, actually, it's funny. I actually had my penny jar set aside for my first Apple PC, you know, and I had I got like 58 cents already in it.
Wow. Ooh, right.
Yeah. And then, oddly enough, I went to go out to jump in the old truck to take a run down and get a burger. And I said, why the hell's the truck look like it's like the bed is leaning into the back of the cab?
Oh, no.
Well, the frame cracked.
Okay.
I had a truck that did that. But the problem was
frame crack.
That was a truck that I had rolled. Well, I hit some black ice about 2 years ago and rolled my pickup truck. It was a Ford Ranger. And I rolled like three, four times down an embankment. Because I wasn't going very fast. I was only going like 30, 40 miles an hour, but it was a kind of a light winter, and there wasn't enough of a snowbank to keep me on the road, so I went through the snowbank and then down the hill and crumpled it pretty good. And, of course, they replaced all the body panels and stuff, and it looked like a brand-new freaking truck. You know, and then, of course, 2 weeks later, the engine went, so they put a new motor in it. And I noticed after about a year that the box was a little crooked and the passenger door wasn't shutting quite right. Now, if you weren't familiar with the truck, you wouldn't notice it. You know, but this was a 2008, and I had owned it a number of years, so I knew the door was hosed, and it was only going to get more hosed, and the box was kind of crooked. So this fall, I went over, it was fall. I went and traded it in for a nice Jeep Wrangler because I knew that this was only going to get to be a worse situation. The box was going to continue to twist. The door was going to continue to shut harder until it got to a point where it didn't shut at all. So I figured, well, let's get rid of it while it still looks brand new. Because it did. All the body panels were new, and it was like so shiny and stuff. It was really amazing. So I can relate to your truck story.
Oh, yeah. So that just dipped into my save up for an Apple fund, because now it's like, okie dokie, time to get another set of wheels.
I'm the same way. I can't just buy any kind of Apple stuff on a whim. It's all long-term planning, you know, watching the rumor sites, when things are going to come out, and try to project to have the money available to do it when it comes out.
So Josh, you had to use the entire 58 cents.
Yeah, I still don't have anything, but no, it's just that 58 that 58 cents is going to get allocated to something else.
Hey, that 58 cents paid to have the driver's passenger window open cleaned.
So
are you gonna
fix it, or are you looking for something new now?
No, not new.
Replace.
Yeah, new to me.
Yeah, new to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and seeing how gas is going to climb up into the, you know, $5 a gallon, thanks Obama administration range.
Doing a fine job.
Trucks, exactly. a replacement pickup.
He's going to release the oil reserves and save us all.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
That's all it's going to take.
So you're going to be looking for a smaller car?
Back to the auction. Moped. Back to the auction I go.
Yeah. Hey, it's summertime, man. You could go with a moped now.
He's kind of motorcycle.
Well, that's what my wife said. Yeah, my wife said. She says, looks like you'll be riding the Harley to work a lot more.
And I'm like, really? You got a Harley? I have a Kawasaki.
Yeah, well, I said, yeah, well, now I got to put my lunchbox, gym bag, and all my other crap on it. But,
well, that's not hard. Just get saddlebags, man, and bungee cords. You can strap a lot of crap on a bike.
I got them on there. It's just I try to keep the miles down on
Kawasaki Vulcan 500. I can put a lot of crap on that bike and get 60 miles to the gallon on it.
My bike gets 25 miles to the gallon.
Holy crap, my Jeep is better than that.
Yeah, it's a full size. It's a big bike. It's an electric glide, so it's
a hog. Oh, my God.
And then then the motor
suspenders and all that extraneous metal off, you could probably save 20 miles a gallon.
No, it's all in the motor, my friend. It's all in the engine. And I tell you what, I can pull wheelies with that thing, but I mean, Harleys traditionally don't get good gas mileage anyway.
But or oil mileage.
No, those days are gone. Well, except for mine. Mine's a 1986. It's restored and rebuilt, so it still likes to go through its fair share. Yeah, it's a classic. It's 30 years old.
Wow.
But to look at it, you really... Yeah, it goes good.
Right, sometimes, Josh. I'll have to tool out there on my Kawasaki, and you and I will have to go out for a ride.
Oh, the more the merrier. Absolutely, I look forward to it, definitely. But
there are a lot of beautiful bike roads in New Hampshire. Man, when I first got my bike, I was like out in the woods all the time with it.
Yeah, I love riding up to Barry's place. It's absolutely, it's a gorgeous ride going all the way up there.
There's too much traffic here. On that road, though. If you're going up 101, there's too much sweat, too much traffic.
He comes back way through Massachusetts.
I come the back way through Massachusetts.
Yeah, I've been on some of those roads. Yeah, I like going up towards Francistown. I think it's like 141. It's a really nice twisty road. It's really, really pretty. There's not much traffic out there because there's hardly anything out there. It's just nothing but woods and farms.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful with the occasional horse, though. You got to throttle it down so you don't scare
moose.
The horses.
Moose. Absolutely. Moose is another thing you got to look out for.
You have to get up.
Right, I know.
Run into really a lot of moose.
Not around Barry J's area, you don't. Every single time, when I lived out in Jaffrey, I can tell you, riding home, even driving home, it was, I told friends of mine, pick any given week, and I would have to stop somewhere on Route 124 and wait for the moose and the deer and occasional bear to cross the road. And then you resume your ride. Yeah, that's just as normal as a day is long, and I miss that. I miss that in a big way. Now you just have to stop for, the occasional idiot, the drag racers, and or, you know, whoever's committing what crime at whatever store in the city. That's why I hate living here.
Yeah. Yeah. I lived in Nashville off of Fox Street for a few years. When I first got out of the military, that's where Tony and I got settled, and it was okay, but the big problem I couldn't stand was the Route 3 commute. I hated driving an hour down a 20-mile road every day. That just sucked. So I used to try to get there at I hit the road around 6 in the morning so I could get down by 6:30, and then I had to wait for an hour before anybody showed up at work, but that was the only way to really get a decent ride. And even when they expanded Route 3 to 6 lanes, it was just 6 lanes of choked traffic. Big freaking deal.
Oh, absolutely. I drive it every day. I know. And the city's it's a very pretty city so long as you don't open your eyelids.
What's that?
So it's,
what's a pretty city?
In Nashua, I said, it's a very pretty city until you open your eyelids.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to call it nausea.
That's what I still call it. I got to go to nausea.
I grew up just north of Concord, and it was a small town out in the woods, so it, the big thing with us was we wanted to do big shopping. We would go to the big city down in Concord, before they had malls and stuff, when I was a kid, the first big mall in New Hampshire was the Bedford Mall. We used to have to, that was like a major hike to go all the way to Bedford to a mall. So Concord was kind of like a city in a coma, which was okay because it was quiet and peaceful, nobody bothered you there, but man, there are so many mass holes all over New Hampshire that you can't stand it.
Hmm. Nope. There you go. That's it in a nutshell. That's why I get now we're talking in a circle right back to as soon as I don't have to be here anymore, I won't be here anymore.
Yeah. I truly love New Hampshire, but I hate what all the Massachusetts residents have done to it, moving into it.
Yeah, they're trying to get away from it in Massachusetts, and then they come up here and change this into it.
Exactly. It's like the only way you can escape it is to go up to the extreme north of New Hampshire where, it's still the old New Hampshire, but you can't make a living up there.
No. Not unless
I'm sure the audience doesn't want to hear any more of this. So, what's this stuff about paper and splash top and couch 25K?
Couch to
5K. Is that what your new couch is going to cost you, Barry? That was Emery looking at. One that massages you at night?
Actually, I was going to save that one possibly for next week because I haven't been able to actually review the app yet. But the first one, Paper, is an app that was actually produced by a bunch of Microsoft people. And I think they were working on a project called Microsoft Courier, and that got canceled by Microsoft, so they started another company, and the result is this app for the iPhone or iPad called Paper, and it allows you to open different notebooks, and you can draw, and you can...
Is that the one that's actually called Instapaper?
No, Instapaper is another... app that allows you to read things offline.
Things. I thought I'd looked at that one earlier today.
Oh, yeah, Instapaper allows you, if you're reading something online, you can tag it and it goes into your Instapaper account offline or later. It's more like a markup thing. This thing is actually a thing that you you can draw with your finger, and it has a bunch of different features. Now, it's free. It's a free app, and they give you a single pen with that and an eraser.
pen.
A pen. And
you're not talking like a stylus type pen.
No, no. What they call a pen. You pick a pen so that you can draw pictures. And, any of the other products where, you know, you choose a pen or a paintbrush and then a style. So you can, they give you one. Now, if you want other tools to go along with it, it's $1.99 for each tool. So it can add up, but it's kind of an interesting product because the faster you move your finger, the wider the line gets. So you can kind of control thin and, your width and I don't know.
At what point did we roll back to the age of six? You know, I got a box of crayons somewhere in a closet in the kids' room.
Well,
and if I press harder on the crayon, the wider the line gets.
Well, that's true.
Yes,
but you can't do that.
You can do this on an iPad. You don't have to use a stinking piece of paper.
Yeah.
Till the batteries go dead.
Well, actually, the battery life isn't bad. I bought my iPad, I think it was Thursday, and I have not charged it yet, and it's still at 23%. Oh, it's actually lasting pretty well.
Yeah.
That's great. I got a piece of paper here that's about 200 years old, a box of crayons that are at least 15.
Yeah, but once you use up the paper, you're done with it. What do you it? Throw it away.
Well, then it comes with an eraser.
Another piece of paper somewhere. And what if the next piece of paper isn't as good as your last one?
It's a good.
It has a little bit of wax on it, or you know, it's that doesn't have the same kind of tactile feedback that the previous one did. I mean, my God, this is the same experience every single time.
Oh wow! Let me sign me up for two then.
And the iPad can hold reams of paper.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. So you can draw lots and lots of pictures when you're supposed to be paying attention during a board meeting.
Well, actually, they were showing the board meetings
Now, wait a minute. Now, when you got board meetings, you can take a nap with an iPad.
Yeah.
Because it has dictation.
Yeah, that's true.
You bring up a notepad, turn on dictation, and just kind of like lean back and close your eyes. Yeah. And when the meeting's over, hopefully somebody wakes you up and you can read the notes.
That's right.
All these modern day conveniences.
It's all about getting more sleep.
Oh, yeah, exactly. How about go to bed earlier?
So anyway, so Paper is a new app out there. It's kind of neat. I haven't played around with it too much yet, but it's, like I said, it's free. But if you want to add extras, bells and whistles, more pens, more colors and things like that, then they start charging. Well, you know, they used to work for Microsoft. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Who's and were these the people that worked for Microsoft back when Microsoft was cool, or when Microsoft became a dead company?
It was Courier, so it was when it became a dead company, and because it was a good idea, and they threw it out.
Yeah, but who writes this?
The company is called 34 or something like that.
Okay, because if you search Paper on the iPad,
mm-hmm.
there is an app called Paper,
mm-hmm.
released October 28th, 2011. And this is definitely a redirect trying to grab people's business because it just calls itself Paper. It's for the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the description, it says, Paper is a thin material mainly used for writing upon, printing upon, drawing, or for packaging. It's produced by pressing together moist fibers, typically cellulose pulp wood. it's a piece of crap. It's free, but this is...
Really?
I can't believe it. Just go ahead and search on Paper, and this comes up, and it's a rogue app.
Was that in the App Store?
Yeah, in the App Store.
Oh, wow.
Released October 28th, 2011. It's not the same one.
I got a link here for Paper. That takes
but I'm just telling you, if you search on Paper, you get this piece of crap that's obviously a parody.
Oh, that's
Paper is a thin material used mainly for writing upon. Go figure.
Surprised they left that in there. So... And the next app is called Splashtop, and I was looking for something that I could use with my iPad other than VNC, so I could remotely jump on to any of the my MacBooks or my MacBook Pro or the Mac Minis I've got, just to be able to get on kind of like a VNC type thing, and heard about Splashtop, and you actually sign up for an account, and so. not only can you access it locally while you're on the private network, but you can also get to it from when you're on travel or out of the house. And it, so far, it works pretty good. I like it. It kind of works like VNC. It pops up, and you've got your display, and you can do anything on that machine that you could do if you're sitting in front of it. So I'm looking forward to using that a little bit more. And it got great ratings. It's also in the App Store, and I've got a link to it. You do have to download a service that goes on each of your machines to use it. And, it works great. I was looking for something for the iPad that I could remote into other machines. If you've just got, the Mac Minis and my MacBook Pro, I can just use the remote desktop feature, which is nice, and that works fine. But so far, there wasn't too much for the iPad to do the same thing. So I like this one. There are free VNC ones out there, but to me, I've tried them. They were kind of, they weren't that great. This one seems to have its act together. So check out Splashtop. And Couch to 5K is what it's supposed to be, not Couch 25K. And it's a fitness program app, which I haven't had a chance to look at, but somebody was talking about it on, I think they were talking about it on iPad Today, one of the Twit shows. And it's supposed to be for somebody who's a couch potato, get them up and running a 5K in 8 weeks. And the gist of the, it's an iPhone, actually, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was on another show, because it's an iPhone app. And the whole idea is it gets you out and running. So it's like you start walking, and so you walk for like a minute, and then they want you to run for 30 seconds, and then you walk for 90 seconds, and then you run for 60 or for a minute, and then you walk again for 90 seconds. And it just does that. And if you follow the program, they said by the end of 8 weeks, you'll be running a 5K. And they've got a few other apps. I've got a link in the show notes to that one. And they've got a few other programs there. But this one's for the iPhone. They also make them for, I can't think of the stupid, the other phones. I'm getting tired. I haven't gotten much sleep this weekend. Anyway,
possibly Android.
Android, that's it.
Yeah,
I was thinking of.
I'm sure not going to be for BlackBerry.
Right? I was thinking Alien. No, that's not it. I had to go to work yesterday, and so I had to get up early, and then I was going to sleep in today, but the wonderful wife decided that she wanted to be noisy at about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, oh, this was my one day to sleep in.
How'd that work out for you?
Yeah.
I do have a quick app update for you, by the way.
Okay.
It was a beautiful day yesterday afternoon, although it was still in the, it was in the 40s, but it was sunny. So I went out for a run, and I'm out running the mountain biking trails, only to find all the trees that came down in the storm I mentioned earlier that took the power out. But, I got about 5-6 miles into it, and I'm coming back through the state park. And I thought, just for the heck of it, I'm going to turn Code Runner on. So I kicked in Code Runner and listened to the scenario of the mission that I was about to undertake. And I'm supposed to chase down this stolen cell phone. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of pointing me in the direction that I'm running. And I figure, well, I can detour myself a little bit. So I'm running through the state park, and I come up on the parade grounds of the Army fort. And he goes, "You're going the wrong direction. You need to head south." And I'm looking at the shoreline at my feet. And I'm thinking, if I go any further south, I'm going to need water wings. And so I stood there for a second, and I go, "No, wait a minute. The phone's been handed off. Turn around and go the other way." So I was either going to need a boat or water wings, but it was cold enough, I really didn't want to try that. It does look like a cool app, but I think I confused it.
It can get confused, but I love how they turn it around on you.
So this is a side comment there. I haven't had a lot of time to play with it, but it really does look cool.
Yeah, there's supposedly another one out there, and I forget what the name of it is, but I'll try to find it and talk about it the next show. I think it has something to do with zombies chasing you.
Yeah, I was gonna download Zombies Run, Zombies, comma Run.
Yeah,
and it sounds really cool, and it looks really cool, but it's $8.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah. It's a huge game. It's like 250 meg or something like that.
You know, it's really kind of funny that when it comes to the iPad and other mobile devices, the way our concept for proper pricing of apps, you know, because when you go to buy a desktop
Xbox
app, you're sitting there like talking like Microsoft Office for hundreds of dollars, Adobe products for hundreds of dollars. But when it comes to the iPad, you know, $8, this thing is like $8, you know?
It's all relative, man. It's all relative.
Yeah, I know. It just kind of blows me away, you know?
That is true. Well, you know, they set the norms, you know, and you're not, you know, anything over 99 cents, it better be damn good, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to develop some apps for the iPad and things that dialysis patients can use to track their blood pressure and blood sugar and, you know, their intake and output and all that kind of junk. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, how can I price this? Because, you know, I don't really want to make any money out of it. I want the money to go to some charitable organizations, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's a weird sort of concept that if you make it free, then people think it's not really worth much. Hmm. You know? So how do you come up with a proper price for an app that people will think that, yeah, okay, this is a good price, and because it's this much, the app, it must be a decent app. You know, so that the charitable organization gets some kind of money out of it.
Well, if it's the iPad, $299.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at, mainly the iPad, but I'm hoping it'll run as well on the touch, but it won't really run as well because it's going to be kind of like a pseudo spreadsheet kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, so it's going to be really kind of tight on a touch sort of screen, but on the iPad, it works really well,
yeah.
you know, and I'm kind of trying to figure out how do you price it so it sounds like it's a valuable app without seeming like a cheap app. But at the same time, a price that people are willing to pay for it. So I've been bouncing it off a lot of people I know in the dialysis community, mm-hmm. you know, what they kind of think a decent price would be. There's a chat site for dialysis patients that's run by them, for them, that I deal with primarily. And that's the one I'm mainly interested in trying to help finance to keep that website going, because it's a wonderful resource for people on dialysis to talk to other dialysis patients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'd like to give back because during my short time on dialysis, they were like a wealth of information for me. Wow. You know, so it's the whole pricing thing when it comes to like iPad apps compared to like desktop apps, it's like a chasm of difference.
Well, I think you know, like the average price seems to be for the iPad, the average price seems to be $299, I think. That's why I see most of them. But if it's a medical thing or something that's, like you said, well worth it, you could probably go higher. You don't want to price it too high that people say, well, that looks really nice, but
I want patients to be able to easily afford it,
right.
you know, because it's going to be a utility for them,
yeah.
you know, to make their lives a little easier than having to write things down on paper all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and something that might be more of a historical record on a long-term sort of thing, you know, as opposed to trying to, like, maintain paper in a file somewhere,
yeah.
you know. But, it is kind of handy to be able to have a place where you can put in all your medicines and, you know, be able to maintain notes and things like that.
Yeah. That's a great idea. $5, $4.99, something like that. That wouldn't be too expensive, but yet probably make some money for the group you want to give it to. So that's a tough question. What do you price it at?
Yeah, you know, because like there is kind of like this feeling that if it's free, it's, you know, like a crap sort of thing, you know, mm. you know, but a lot of people don't really want to pay anything for apps, you know? So it's like, how much work do you want to put into an app for nothing?
Yeah.
You know, especially since, you know, in this case, I would like to have some money be generated by it to go to this website.
Right. Right. Hmm.
So if anybody's on dialysis, by the way, and they're interested in what this website is, it's called IHateDialysis.com. It's a chat site for dialysis patients, by dialysis patients, and there are people that have been on dialysis for years there, and the wealth of experience that they can share with you is amazing. So if you're new to dialysis or approaching dialysis, I would suggest that you go ahead and set up an account there. It's totally free, and it's the conversation is completely wide open. There's nothing barred. Because, like I said, everybody's in the same boat there. It was a wealth of information for me while I was on dialysis before I got my kidney transplant.
Wow. I'm putting a note in here. I hope I spelled it right. You said it's...
Yeah, no spaces. It's www.IHateDialysis.com.
Yeah, I was going to put the link to that. Did I spell dialysis right?
Yeah, it looks right. By the way, Barty, from the medical apps that I'm involved with, we do two lines of thought. The free apps we have are free with no ads, and we make that clear. And we're shooting, the people tend to take it seriously if it's in the $199 to $299 category. Now, okay. The dialysis people that's might helpful. Be willing to pay more, but that's actually with some market analysis that we've done. So we want
I'm
to
not interested in making any money
well.
Out of this. I'm just trying to give back to the website because it's been such a wonderful utility for me.
Yeah, a lot of people start giving pause to anything over $299, even on the iPad.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Okay, there we go. I got the right link. Oh, okay. All right. Let's see.
So you've determined that we're not causing global warming?
There was a link.
How the hell did you do that?
There was a link of a scientist that actually is from Syracuse. And...
And you trust him?
Hey, my wife went to Syracuse. Let's see. During the medieval times, the earth heated up. And most people thought it was because of Europe... and all the people there were causing, you know, with their fires. Hang on. Something started, a video started up automatically here, which you guys couldn't hear, but it was making it onto the tape. Anyway, so there was and they were saying, well, the population was growing in Europe, and this was only happening in Europe, you know, because of the CO2 emissions. So, Europe was heating up at the time, and it was all human CO2 emissions, and it's their fault. But this one scientist or couple scientists that were doing a study, and there was a I read this a few days ago and I forget what it was called. Try and quickly go through here. They found a presence of a type of particle that is called a crystal structure. Let's see, it turns out. That's not it. Anyway, there was this particle, and they were saying, you know, the people that believed that Europe was heating up and it was man-made is because this particle was found prevalent in Europe, and this guy went out to Antarctica and a few other places and dug down into the core and found the particle existed there at the same time, too, so... It really was a warming, the entire Earth was warming, probably caused by the sun and a phase of the sun, and not really man-made. And so he basically blew the theory that this other theory that the people had that said that this particle proved that Europe was, you know, having global warming happening back in the Middle Ages.
So basically it was more like tunnel vision.
Yes, it was. It was, you know, we didn't bother to go look anywhere else. He did.
Well, because especially back then that the entire world centered around Europe. If it didn't happen in Europe, it didn't happen, right?
Right. And, boy, suddenly you're breaking up a little bit, Barty. So I think
really
the global warming people are affecting the signal. How dare we
attacking me?
Yeah. Oh, no. You are breaking up. That's a, how dare you attack global warming, the new religion. So anyway, it was, like I said, I read that.
Dan, I better beginning. Close my window fast.
So it was, so again, they proved something wrong, or he proved that something that they said was proof of global warming. He proved that it wasn't happening just in Europe. It was happening all over. And again, chances are it was just the sun going through a phase like it's kind of doing right now with all its activity. So, it's I've got a link to the in the show notes to that if you're interested. And
speaking of solar events and things like that, we've got a meteor that's coming between us and the moon, right?
I think it already passed, didn't it?
Isn't that supposed to happen like today?
I thought it already
wasn't that like an event that's supposed to occur today?
I thought it already happened a month ago. Is it today? There was one that passed.
No,
between
I thought
us
it was supposed to be like today.
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
Damn, did I miss that?
Yeah, I think you did.
I hate this hospital shit.
Yeah, it sucks. You
there
know.
Was one a month ago, but let's see here.
See if there's another one. They're not telling us a lot of things.
April 1st asteroid flyby.
Well, April 1st.
No, this is on space weather.
Maybe they're lying.
Okay. No danger collision,
yeah,
Dreamliner.
They never joke, right?
There's a picture in spaceweather.com from Australia.
Hmm.
Nice shot of it, too. Streak going through the sky. I don't know if it's done or not, though.
This
is not an April Fool's hoax. It is for real, according to the article. Give me a time.
Well, that wasn't in the show notes. Barry was just talking about things happening.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to be an apropos time to bring something like that up.
Yeah, it's asteroid 2012 EG5. Going to be 0.6 lunar distances from the Earth. And it is 59 meters in size. Pretty good size rock there.
That could do some damage. Why don't you grab a link to what you're looking at and stick it on the
show note. Michael.
Yeah, stick it on.
Come on, Michael, stick it. So, we don't want it from Yahoo News either.
No, that's the link right there, spaceweather.com. It doesn't have a special link. It's just right on their front page.
Oh, okay.
And you have to go by today's date. You can dial in that page by there's a calendar in the upper right hand column, so you can go back and look at articles from a specific date.
Okay. Let's see. Oh.
But in the bottom of that page, that's got the aurora forecast. It's got the aurora radar. But if you scroll down, it has a chart of flybys, asteroids coming close to the Earth, and how far.
Hmm. Any more scheduled?
Well, there's two today, actually.
Really?
One is that close one. The other one the other one's 8.3 lunar distances. It's not all that close. But if you look at the chart, every month there's normally one, at least one lunar distance or closer. They just don't always hit the news.
Hmm.
This one's 0.6. This one's pretty close. So you hope they got their math right.
Yeah, really?
It's plus or minus 5%.
So.
They got a cool shot on the page today of sprites down in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Up the sky, too.
Sprites?
So worth looking at. Sprites.
What are sprites?
Sprites are...
Do they have those in the Commodore 64?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, when you get really, really heavy thunderstorms...
I remember programming that kind of crap.
The lightning's hitting the Earth, you actually get a discharge into the atmosphere on the other side of the cloud. And if it's big enough and you're far enough away, you can see the discharge into the atmosphere.
Oh,
take a look at spaceweather.com after the show today and take a look at it. You'll see a good shot of it.
J. Josh, are you still there? I haven't heard from him in a while. Josh?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
You got bored. We're talking asteroids and spacecraft, and he's like, oh, geez, let's go back to Earth.
That's interesting. It really is. And I'm just taking in all the information. That's all. Got nothing really to add in there because, you know, if you got asteroids, you can put a little preparation H on that. That takes care of it.
Good. I like that, Chad. That's good. Speaking of getting back to Earth, Michael, you had a link that you posted on the show notes about freighters are back on the Big Lake.
Oh, yeah.
From marinetraffic.com.
Marinetraffic.com is a cool site. If you haven't been on it before, it tracks the locators of commercial ships or any ship that has a locator on it worldwide. So if you go to that, you can go to the nearest grid square, really? You know, where you're at or, you know, where you want to observe. But in the case of, since I'm, you know, surrounded by water here, I can look out and if I see a freighter, I can point it at the screen and find out what freighter it is and where they're going. And the locks close over the winter up here, so it gets to be a whole lot of nothing for a while. And then about the last week, the freighter traffic has returned. And we actually have a transponder receiver up on one of the... Oh, it is really cool because it's always cool to see them, but it's even cooler when you know they're coming.
When I saw that, I was really intrigued. That's why I really wanted to ask you about that.
Yep, yeah, it's real time traffic, so you can the transponders. You know, it tells you what kind of ship it is, where they're going.
Wow, I'll have to check that out too.
Yeah,
a bunch of good links tonight. So, and.
Got a good rumor. If you look at my note there. I'm going to start a rumor tonight.
Where's that? Which?
The one that starts up with
Oh.
My wife got a notice from Verizon last night that her phone upgrade has been moved up from February to October of this year. Whatever could that be for?
And I'm due for a new one this year.
So am I. So am I. And, you know, I've been joking with my about the different ways that I could break my BlackBerry to get an iPhone 4S. And he was saying, well, you know, this iPhone 5 coming out in the fall. You might want to just hang on to it. Because I've already determined when my contract date ends.
Well, you know, mine's already up.
Call them and say, hey.
Yeah, my phone is already up for... Because we both have accounts. I had originally upgraded my phone on her account. And then things got swapped around. And you did the two-card shuffle there. But... Basically, we already have an upgrade coming already, but I'm holding off now. And hers has been moved up from February to October. So we find it rather interesting.
Yeah, because that's the... When did the 4S come out? Was it October or September? It was October, wasn't it? Beginning of October? So they've pushed it back. It used to come out in July. Whoops, sorry. Knocked the mic. It used to come out
Didn't
in July.
Hear it.
And now they've pushed it back to September October time frame. So yeah, that sounds about right.
We'll see. So between that and I'm still guessing that WWDC is going to be June 11th through the 15th, just from the pure scientific fact that that's the worst possible week for me this summer that it could happen, because I'm going to be in Ottawa on the 10th. I'm planning on going to Podcasters to Cross Borders, which is the 8th through the 10th this year of June. They moved it up. Normally it's later in June. I've registered for it almost every year, Barty, and I've never been able to go. Something's always come up. So this year I'm trying to make a shot and get up there while they're still holding it.
I've never gone to any of those kind of shows.
This is a cool group. I mean, this is the Canadian guys. It's Bruce Murray from the Zedcast. And Tom from Tech News Today. Tom Merritt.
He goes there?
Tom Merritt's been going.
Yeah.
He's been going there for a couple of years.
I was just kind of intrigued because Ottawa's not that far from me, relatively speaking.
Hmm. And I'm actually thinking about if I'm going to be up there.
Put in a notice at work saying that I'm planning on making a trip to Canada, and I could almost be there.
That would be cool.
You know, Ottawa's an amazing city. It'd be a great place to visit. My wife will probably have a good time there. I have to save up some money so she can go shopping.
Yeah, I wanted to bring the whole family up, but unfortunately, the 8th, when it starts, is the last day of school for my kids. And my wife's pretty adamant about...
And it's the 8th of what?
8th of June. So it's Friday the 8th through...
June.
8th of June, yeah, through the Sunday the 10th.
Hmm.
Go to PAB2012 is the website. That.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm sorry. I've totally derailed the whole flow of the show.
No, no. You know what it is?
You're sitting here talking about this. I'm sitting here going through that marine traffic.com website.
That is an awesome site.
Ships on the lakes. You know, thinking, oh, well, you know, Ottawa's not that much further. I mean, I'm looking on the map where Ottawa is while I'm looking at these boats and thinking, oh, this is kind of cool.
Now, Michael, you had another.
This kind of crap.
You had another topic on here about installing a Roku. Did we do that yet? That was Barty was talking about the Roku.
Talking about the Apple III, right. And it's been the set top box or accessory item week for me because I was going to comment on the Apple II. I did the latest software upgrade on it, and lo and behold, it is negotiating that service that shall not be named by Barty. It's negotiating it a whole lot better than it was before, because I've been able to watch Netflix on my iPad and iPhone here with limited bandwidth just perfectly. I mean, it doesn't try to go HD, but it works really well. But it would always try to negotiate to the HD 720p, but the HD of my TV set, and it would just buffer forever. Mm-hmm. Now it seems to be looking at the connection going, well, this is, you know, what makes sense, and giving me a decent picture without trying to go HD based on my internet connection. Now, it just might be chance, but it's running a whole lot better than it ever has, even for the Apple II TV. Right. So we'll see. And then last week...
So you're doing this on a Roku 2?
No, I was doing... the Roku 2 is a next subject, but I've got an Apple II here. And, of course, then we've got the Wii and the Xbox. So we've got all kinds of things to try.
You're talking an Apple TV 2, right?
Right, the Apple TV 2. But my mother is an early adopter, and she had the original Roku, and really likes it. And she's got AT&T UVerse, she's got Roku, and she does all this on her own. She's pretty hip when it comes to the internet. But she was telling her cousin about this, and her cousin and their family were having trouble hooking up the Roku that they bought, and they just purchased Roku 2, the new Roku 2 HD unit, for $49. I think those things are going for. So I went over there, and holy cow, wow. What an internet connection they've got! I did a test just to see, because they're not internet wise at all. I mean, they've got a computer; it's ancient XP running. I don't know. After about 3 minutes, I got tired of waiting for it to boot. But I did a speed test on their connection. They've got 30 meg down and 4 meg up.
Wow.
At their location. Like, holy cow. So I dug out this Roku box. And
a 2 gig gap, cap?
I don't know. Yeah, you can download as much of that 2 gig as you want. So I dug out this Roku box, and really easy to hook up, right up to the point where it goes out there and it gets a code that you're supposed to enter to their website for a new customer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it kept coming up, waiting for code. So I went to the website, and the website says, "We're sorry, our account services web server is down for maintenance. We'll be up soon." Well, that up soon was about, I don't know how long it was down before I got there, but I had to wait online for about 3 hours.
Wow.
Before they came up. But I didn't mind. I hadn't seen, these are relatives I hadn't seen in a few years, so I wound up having lunch with them and catching up on things. But I'm pretty impressed. And to their credit, you know, after I figured, well, I'm going to visit with my family for a while, and as things were wrapping up and it still wasn't online, I contacted their customer support on their live chat, and they were right there, Johnny, on the spot, telling me what's going on and that the site would be up shortly, and they were correct. As a matter of fact, they stayed online and said, okay, you know, delete your cache and hit refresh now. It should come up, and they were right, and the rest of it went nice and slick.
Cool.
So it looks like an easy-to-use good service.
That's pretty good.
At $49, especially, that's a good deal.
Put that... Mm-hmm. put that in the show notes, because that's excellent customer support should always be mentioned.
Absolutely.
Profusely.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you think of the Roku 2 that you, the little bit that you saw?
Easy to use, easy to navigate, although the control isn't that much different than the little, it's bigger, but it basically is as basic as that aluminum control that comes with the mm-hmm. Apple. Mm-hmm. It does have a nice little,
fiber. Oh, I found the remote for my XD was better than the Apple one.
Yeah, it is XD. It really it is a true or a true HD, I believe.
Oh, it is. Okay, so it does.
Well, I mean, my the Roku box that I have is called the Roku XD. It's the previous generation middle model, and okay. The remote for there is more like a normal TV remote, and it's a lot easier to use than that stupid Apple thing. That, you know, the Apple thing is cute and it's, you know, adorable and all that kind of crap, but you know, it to me, it's just non-functional. It doesn't really work adequately enough, you know. The Roku one is definitely much better because it's more of a standard television type remote, you know. And when I had the original Apple TV and the Roku XD, I tended to use the Roku more because there was more junk I could do with it, and it was easier to use than the Apple TV, because the Apple TV, you had to download everything down to your Apple box and then transfer it over and all that kind of crap, right. You know, and it was just a pain in the ass. But the new Apple TV is simpler, but it's still straddled with that ignorant remote, you know. But as long as you have an iPod or an iPad or an iPod Touch, you know, you can get an app for that fixes that problem, you know, and it works much, much smoother. But the Roku, I think that thing, I'm still going to be using my old Roku for a few things, but the Apple TV 3 is kind of caught up in a lot of the areas that the original Apple TV I used to have. Well, I still have it, just not hooked up at the moment. That it lacked, you know. Mm-hmm. I still think that the ultimate box would be one that you could run completely free of any computer and completely free from streaming. I would like one that's more like a DVR type device where I can go out and tell it, these are the podcasts I want to watch. I don't want to watch them streamed because my internet access isn't the greatest. I want to download this crap directly so I can watch it whenever I want to sit down and watch it, you know. And none of these devices actually do that for me. You know, okay. You're either stuck with streaming, which is great if you have good internet access, or you're stuck with the original Apple TV where you have to download everything and transfer it and then have to keep it stored in two places. Because if you take it off your computer, once you put it on your Apple TV 1, it's gone.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
To me, that's just an ignorant way to go about it, you know? And it just makes it harder for the end user to get what he wants out of it.
Well, they have that
box. I don't want to stream everything. I wouldn't mind if I had Verizon Fios. I'd be happy streaming everything. But I don't. I have DSL. And I'm trying to maximize my DSL by having two DSL accounts in the house to spread things around.
Well, I got to tell you, Barty, they have that device. Apple does make it. Unfortunately, it's $500 to $600. It's called a Mac Mini. You can attach it to the to your TV and get everything you want.
Average Mac.
That so far, you know, that's the only thing, that or a PC that's running, you know, Media Center. I wish that would happen. Yeah. Now with the Apple TV,
you know. Media Center had a lot of promise when it came out. It was a great idea, yeah. But it was one of those Microsoft things that they couldn't maximize anything on right away, so they said, "Ah, screw it."
Right.
Because it was a wonderful start. Because I picked up I had an XP Media Center Edition operating system running on a PC, and I had a video capture card that would attach to my cable system, and it was going through and controlling my cable system and downloading things and stuff, but it wasn't all HD, you know, and it just didn't go far enough. It was kind of like it started, it was a good beginning, mm-hmm. And then when you really started to use it, it was like, okay, well, it's got this limitation, that limitation. You can get this app from this company to kind of overcome that a little bit. But it never went all the way. And you're like, come on, Microsoft. And then they just dumped it. They forgot about it. Yeah. It's like, you got to be kidding me. This was a great idea. And it really did work. They just didn't develop it enough to make it really useful.
Right. And yeah, that's Microsoft's history so far.
But Microsoft is terrible at that stuff. You know, the Zoom was another example.
Yeah.
The Zoom was terrible in the beginning, but they worked it up. And when they finally got it so it was nice to use, they gave up on it.
Right.
And it's like, come on, you assholes. This is working. It's good. But they abandoned that as well.
Yep. That's Microsoft. Let's see what they do with their phones when they come out. Well, they're already coming out, but Windows 8, well, I downloaded the Windows 8 trial. Granted, it's a trial and it's beta, but that thing was horrible.
Yeah.
The Metro thing was like, it's just, okay, now it takes me, instead of 3 steps to log off, now it takes me 5 steps to log off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, one last, I guess. Let's see, Michael. We already talked about the power outage, right?
Yep.
Okay. And I'll have to figure out where we talked about that because I got to put it in the show notes. And your son is.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, it was at the beginning.
Yeah, my oldest
beginning, which was the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning. I don't know. We had such a hard start.
I'm going to put it there. Third
yeah.
down.
There you go.
Okay.
Good generator test, though.
Yeah.
Anyhow, yeah, my oldest son is in Disney World as of 2 o'clock this afternoon. Our local school has a trip every 4 years for the high school band members. And they do it every 4 years so that everybody who is in band has a chance to go if they stay in band. So at 3 o'clock yesterday morning, actually I got up at 2:15 and then got my son up at 2:30. And at 3 o'clock yesterday morning, we headed out to get to the bus pickup point by 4 a.m.
Wow.
They were on the road by 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, where the hell's your nearest airport? You got to go all the way to Minneapolis or something?
No, they drove. Bus. 33 hours.
They drove to Florida?
They drove to Florida. 2 buses.
Wow.
Although these aren't any buses that I took on my school trips because they have power outlets at the seat. They have Wi-Fi on the bus. And they have movies. So he had his netbook, one of my iPads, his Nintendo DS.
modern travel. Yeah,
PlayStation, PSP.
Jeez.
He had them all stuffed in his backpack, and he got there at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So he's there. They perform tomorrow. Today's Sunday. Wow. Yeah, so they perform tomorrow, then they have another day. So they had a day in the park today. They've got a day in the park tomorrow after their performance, another day on Tuesday, and then they leave at the break of dawn again on Wednesday and get back here Thursday night.
Now,
that's pretty cool.
Did they drive straight through or did they stop?
Yeah, they drive straight through. They've got 2 bus drivers per bus.
Wow.
And they drive shifts.
So but the kids just sleep on the bus?
The kids sleep on the bus. They do stop for food. But
that's the school good.
Yeah. Well, they bring food on the bus as well. But the school district really does. They've been doing this for like 28 years, something like that.
Wow.
And I'm part of the Band Parents Association.
Actually, I think that sounds pretty damn good.
Oh, it is really good, especially since the way they've got it worked out. So the kids have to earn something to go. It does cost $200 per student, but that's it. And then the band parents, we raise everything else. And that $200 that the kids raise is given back to them as spending cash during the course of the week.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
But the band parents raise all of the money for the entire trip over 4 years so that there's no discrimination in the school. Everybody in the band gets to go, period. That's the way it works. Nice. I think it's just a dynamite system.
Yeah,
well, that's good.
So, yeah, he's excited. He's having a good time it's spring break here right now, so the youngest is here riding his BMX bike all over the place, in and out of the dry roads and into, well, there isn't too much snow down here. There's still plenty in the hills. There's still 2 to 3 feet in the hills yet. But so that was just a side note. But he's having a good time, although I got a kick out of this bus with power outlets at the seat and Wi-Fi and everything else. Of course, I don't think the Wi-Fi worked until they got into cell range, but that was still most of the trip for him.
Yeah, really. That's pretty.
And I told him,
don't have a bad deal
streaming. Though. Yeah, I told him not to expect to stream YouTube or anything else. I think a whole busload with the kids, right. Share a Wi-Fi connection.
Although if they're on major highways, the he had Wi-Fi only, right? Were you saying?
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. He okay. doesn't. He doesn't. There's no point in paying for more than one cell connect. Well, my wife and I both have cell data plans, although she doesn't have a smartphone. She goes, I got this phone. It makes and receives phone calls. That's what I want it to do.
What? It only makes phone calls?
Yep. Jeez. Reliably, too.
That's what my wife is, too.
I think I've got her convinced to get an iPhone when the plan comes up. But we're kind of waiting for Verizon keeps talking about doing a family data plan.
Uh-huh.
She's against going with two data plans in the family, and I kind of agree with her. But not to the point where I don't want her to not have a phone. So, and when she upgrades, it's time to get her a smartphone of some sort.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, according to Audition, this has been going for 2 hours and 29 minutes.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Of course,
that's what I have too.
That was with the connection stuff in the beginning, which some of that will make it, but I don't think all of it will make it. So it's still a long show, so we probably should wrap this one up. And we do have a musical guest tonight.
Yeah,
I like
to get that anyway.
Yeah. By the way, before we wrap it up, how you doing, Barty? Because last week you couldn't make it because you were back in the hospital. Was that just a...
Yeah. I'm actually doing very, very good. A lot of my creatinine levels are holding steady at 1.9. They had dropped down and then came back up, but they were still below 2.0, so it was okay. My white blood cell count dropped down. If anybody's following that kind of stuff, it's the evidence of infection in my system. Okay. And that dropped, so that was a good thing. And I've been feeling really, really good. I kind of overdid it today, moving around stuff, trying to clean things up in my office and out in my living room. I'm trying to rearrange speakers to set up a separate stereo. I got a brand new turntable, a Technics turntable that will hook up to my computer so I can digitize all my vinyl.
Oh, very
and cool. I'm coming up with a system where I've got two different amplifiers in my living room, one that's connected to my various game systems and one that's over where my computers are. And I put it on a rolling cart so I can connect my turntable to anything I want. And I was rearranging my KLH speakers off on one side of the room and things, and I think I kind of moved a little bit too much and kind of overstressed myself, but it's just not too bad. I'm doing okay.
You're looking good.
But other than that, you can see me?
Well, I saw you on FaceTime.
On FaceTime, yeah. That's right. That was a while back. Yeah. But, we kind of missed the video stuff that we had going because, even though that didn't show up in the show, it was kind of cool to watch everybody else talking stuff. It seemed like we were more in the room. But, I'm doing really well. The transplant has really taken. The kidney's been very busy and things. So everything's really going well, and I appreciate you asking me. That was a pretty nice of you, Barry. Thanks.
Oh, well,
Definitely.
You're looking good tonight.
Well, since it was that one show, I could only pop in for just a few minutes, about a half hour or so,
right,
and talk to you and Mike for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're doing better and you're out of the hospital. It's always better to be home than in those hospitals.
Well, that was more of a precautionary thing because some of my numbers weren't looking so good. So they did a biopsy and they found that there were two types of cells that shouldn't be in my kidney. And one indicated rejection and the other infection. So they didn't know what to treat me for. So they put me in the hospital and treated me intravenously for both with a higher level of drugs than they could with in pill or oral form.
Right.
So that was the whole purpose of the hospital stay, was the fact that they could monitor me every 2 hours and Trust me, they did.
Yeah. Also, that really helps when you're trying to sleep, doesn't it?
No, I was so exhausted by the time I got out of the hospital. It wiped me out.
Go ahead.
But I've been feeling pretty good since then. Things have settled down to like a little dull roar and just moving along really smoothly. And it's going really well. And I'm going to be pressuring them to get this damn peritoneal catheter out of me as fast as possible.
Wow.
I'm sick and tired of having this thing hanging out of my stomach every day.
Wow. Does it bother you? I mean, do you feel it, or is it just annoying being there?
It's just an incidental thing.
Okay.
It's just like always there. I have to wear like this Velcro belt that has like a little pocket that you put the end of the hose in, the catheter, and it's got like a little Velcro catches along the way to kind of keep it along your waist, you know, and you get the little loop hanging down. You know, okay. So you know, but you've always got that thing there, and it was necessary when I was doing dialysis every night, because that was what connected me to the machine,
right.
And that would pump the fluid in and out of me all night long. But you know, now it's just like an unused appendage, and mm-hmm. You know, the kidney is. It's been in me over 2 weeks now. It's going to stay. So let's get this thing the hell out of me.
Well, they just want to be cautious, I guess.
Yeah. They always want to, you know, err on the side of more caution than not. So, right. Which, you know, which is just the appropriate way to do it. You know, I'm not arguing or complaining. It's just I want this thing out of me.
Yeah, definitely.
Not backing up, basically, you know.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, with that, now we're even later. But it was good to hear the story because you've been through.
Yeah, out there that's curious lot. About dialysis or kidney transplants, you know, I have no problem talking about it. So if you want to email me at bartycast@gmail.com or, you know, feel free to go to ihatedialysis.com. That's a chat website for dialysis patients, and it also deals with a lot of transplant conversations. You know, that's a very good resource. Most of my knowledge and advice that I got while I was on dialysis came from there. It's all dialysis patients talking about dialysis issues, and you know, it's for them, by them, and it's a great resource if you're stuck with that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I can't stress enough how much help that website was to me when I was on dialysis, because you know, you don't realize the kind of things that can happen, and the mundane questions from that come up in day-to-day life. You know, who are you going to ask? Right. You know,
yeah.
We're talking like bodily functions and things like that. You know, you can't just ask average people about that.
Right.
But when you go to ihatedialysis.com, you can talk to other dialysis patients that have experienced the same thing. And when you ask, they completely understand what you're talking about because they've been there. You know, and some of these people have been on dialysis for like 15, 20 years, you know. Some of them have been in and out of transplants and things over the years. So it's a wonderful wealth of experience that you're drawing upon when you talk to those people. And they're all people that are in the same boat as you.
Wow. Well, that sounds great.
And I don't hear all that kind of crap, but, you know, but that site was such a wonderful wealth of information and comfort to me during the very short time that I was on dialysis.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got the link in the show notes for that. So if anybody's interested, please check it out. And with that, our musical guest tonight is Cody Provost and his song Cruising Song. And as we end all our podcasts, we want to give our shout out to the people in the military, both here at home and or CONUS, as we like to call it, and OCONUS overseas. Doing their duty. Without you guys, we wouldn't be able to do what we do here because you protect the First Amendment and everything else. So thank you, and keep on doing what you're doing. And the guys overseas, we hope we see you back home here real soon. So,
you're here.
Okay, with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire on a very long late night QRM, I am Barry J.
Josh.
Barty.
I'm Barty.
and I'm Michael, the virtual Eber.
because Michael always goes last.
I'll have to remember that.
Okay, we'll see y'all next week, guys.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
See ya.
Last kiss, goodbye. You're leaving me here tonight. Gotta pray I make it through the next few days. Until you're back again, this long distance thing we're in, gonna be a distant memory someday. So don't forget me on the highway. When you're driving down the road, digging on your radio, thinking me, 'cause don't you know that I'll be missing you. Sing along with what you feel, tap it on the steering wheel. If you gotta be gone, let me be your crew. Cars passing by that you don't even see. Big smile all the way, blue sky, no sign of rain. All we gotta get through is another week. And when that light turns green,
I don't think it's run this smooth from my location in a long time.
No, you're perfectly clear, too. Wait. Hello?
Hey. Oh, shit. My mic still doesn't... My mic doesn't work.
What mic?
It's still not working.
You're supposed to fix that.
I'm working on it, but it doesn't... It won't even turn on now.
You were supposed to fix it last week.
Oh, no shit, man. Work was way too busy for that.
We're still trying to get Barty up. He can't connect. I told him to turn on.
Tell Josh to send me his address, and I'll mail him one.
Yeah, send... Give him...
Oh, my God.
Give Michael your address, and he'll mail you one.
I know. I've been meaning to, and I every time... Oh, son of a bitch. Hold on a second. I got a mess.
Why do you have 16 wires with your mic?
I don't know. Hold on a second. I got to try and discombobulate this thing. I think I got Mike, a bad USB port.
Mike, can you hear him?
I can hear him.
You can't. I would imagine not.
Into your mic. I don't hear him direct.
Hold on a second here. Because I'm doing a video call. Hold on a second. God damn it. Son of a bitch.
Uh-oh. I just got the ding of death.
Uh-oh. Well...
And I am. My screens are all locked up. I'm just waiting for my mic to take a shit. I mean, if I put it in the holder, so theoretically I'm not moving it, it hangs up and quits working. If I hold it in my hand, it works. It must be a magnetic personality.
I'm calling Barty on FaceTime. I don't know how I did it, but I'm calling him. It says
why won't the error go away?
But you guys won't be able to hear him. So, I'm going to be having two conversations at the same time. There's hey, Barty.
I have to go through a whole routine.
On FaceTime.
I don't remember any of my logins or any of that kind of crap.
Yeah.
I
can't even download. Let's try this again. All right, mic stand is down.
Hang on, Josh, can you be quiet for a minute? I'm trying to listen to Barty. Sorry. I got those guys on Skype. Do you have Skype, Barty?
No, that's what I'm trying to do now, and I don't have my login, so I got to create a new account, which they won't even let me download their software without putting in a whole ton of information first.
Really? What happened to your...
working with that.
What happened to your old account?
I don't remember my login.
Oh.
I haven't used it in, like, years.
Okay. So, well, it's the same as what this one is. if you can remember the password, it's the same as what this one is.
Well, I tried logging in with that, and it didn't accept it. I don't know, maybe if you don't use it long enough, they just ditch it or what. Or maybe when Microsoft owned it, they ditched all the accounts that hadn't been used in a year.
Yeah, that's true.
Or something.
Okay, because unfortunately, Josh doesn't have FaceTime. So, although I'd love to try it.
Well, I kind of figured that. You know, he's like, back in the 80s there with his TVs.
He can't hear you. You're lucky.
Well, that takes all the fun out of it.
But we're recording it, so he can hear it. if you can get a new account up. I might as well just...
Yeah, that's what I'm working on now, but, you have to create all this crap before they'll even let you download them.
Yeah, it's Microsoft, too. Probably you have to fill in 15 different pages now of information.
And then now they've got that...
I'm beginning to hate technology.
The first one is MNTHES, and then the second word is repent.
Repent?
That's what it says.
Oh, is that one of those words you got to type in?
Yeah.
To prove you're you?
No, it doesn't like something. Please review information.
What's going on? I'm talking to Barty on FaceTime, so it's a one. You guys can't. You can hear me, but you can't hear Barty because I've got you both on the same computer.
Mm-hmm. I should have been drinking scotch rather than tea.
We were remarking how we could be using FaceTime right now if it wasn't. Person.
Well, does FaceTime run on Windows piece of shit machines?
No.
Well, then there you go.
It's a Mac thing.
Oh, he's so cute.
Why do you have to have my phone number?
Maybe I can open up the task manager.
How do you intend to use Skype? As little as possible, after.
Barty has to create a new Skype account because his other one died or something. So he's filling out the form right now.
Ah. Name of your firstborn child. Name of your podiatrist. How many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches did you eat in the sixth grade?
Swear your lifelong allegiance to Microsoft.
Did you say you're going to have to fax him a copy of your birth certificate?
I was joking. Because they keep complaining that I don't have all the information right. It's like, well, come on.
Must be a Homeland Security thing.
It must be a Homeland Security thing, Michael said.
I think he's right.
I wish there was some way I could interconnect these two.
I've got Skype out. I could dial him. If you chat me his phone number, I could dial him and add him from here.
Yeah. Yeah, but that would be a phone. He would sound like he's on the phone.
No, yeah. It's better than silence.
It's better than silence.
Okay. Now I'm downloading Skype.
Okay, he's downloading Skype.
It took all that time just to get to that point.
What the hell is
that?
That's what a piece of shit Windows machine sounds like when you can't get rid of any of the damn screens.
It keeps complaining that it doesn't like my microphone stuff.
Error. I'm a piece of crap.
Oh, great.
Microsoft makes me. I don't know what kill it. Burn it.
I haven't changed
that. That's what that all stands for.
I don't know what it could.
Welcome to This Week in Social Media.
I can't make it go away.
Barty can't hear a word you guys are saying.
A bitch is talking.
Oh, God, Barty. Hurry up. Get it downloaded. I'm trying to figure out a way to cross these things, but I don't think I can.
Oh, what the Christ!
I guess the only way it would work is
don't
if
cross
you had,
the streams.
Me on FaceTime.
Don't cross the streams.
Piped it into your mix board.
Yeah, I need to put you on another computer, you know? Though. Although I could potentially do that.
Shit. God, I hate you.
A My broken, Google program, Google Talk plugin, has unexpectedly quit.
Come on!
Oh, that's your Google Plus thing. That's when you were trying to log on to Google Plus the entire day. We were watching. Come on, Marty, you can do it. Come on.
I've got a whole. I got a whole new DX error 0x887608C from Skype. It won't go away. And I went to find it, task manager. Or the only way I can get rid of it is to close Skype.
I figured, it's going to take me all night to download my bandwidth is the greatest. I think this is going to be a wash tonight, Barry. Until I can figure out a way to get the Google Hangout to work.
I can't even
close after. Wait till next week.
It won't let me.
Listen,
and all that.
Listen, Josh has been having problems with Google Plus too. Last time we were using Skype, so you know, try to get Skype downloaded.
I gotta fix it. I can't. Yeah, it's coming. I gotta go get the 45. I'll be right back.
I've got I have two ISP connections.
Yeah, I hear you just fine, there, Michael.
I'm doing it all by itself. I've got the two pair of headsets on, Chuck, that Barry does. So I can hear myself.
Hey, guys, I'm trying to listen to Barty.
I'm trying to load around in the magazine because I'm ready to shoot this computer.
They're talking over top of you, Barty, because they can't hear you.
I don't blame them.
We need
it would be boring for them to sit there and listen to your half of the conversation.
What's really interesting is FaceTime really works well.
Well, you know what? This stuff works so much better than Skype.
Oh, don't
this
rub
is what
it
I
in.
Used when I was over in LUD, and I was talking to my wife here in New York.
Wow.
And it was working just fine.
Yeah, because the picture.
And I was even walking around with a little iPod.
The picture's beautiful, and the sound, and the rainbows, and everything smells better.
Wi-Fi signal.
Of course.
Oh, this is okay. I don't know what to do. I can't cross-reference. I do have two Mac machines here, but I can't even cross them. I could either get your audio, but I can't send back to you because of the mix minus one thing. I can't mix minus one two machines at the same time. I need a digital mixer board. Then I could bring everybody in on separate channels. And let's see. Is it downloading any faster or did it die?
Yeah, it looks like it's almost done. Because, it's got the... The way Safari's doing it, it's got that little itty bitty status box. Oh, okay, here we go. 1 minute remaining.
Okay.
I can click on the button.
All right. He's almost there, guys. He's got one minute. Of course, it doesn't help that we're streaming on FaceTime. I should just be quiet.
Are you managing to get anything at all for the show yet?
Oh, well, I've been recording for the past 31 minutes.
All right, that's good. That's good. I would hate to think that you guys have been sitting there just laughing and not getting anything.
But it's been a lot of up and down. Boy, I would have to edit the hell out of this too. Uh-oh. What happened? Who's there? I just lost Skype.
So it's just us.
What did those guys do?
So we are the show.
Right now we are, because those guys, I don't know what happened. Still says
Skype is downloaded. Where the hell did it go?
Okay.
Skype 5.6.0143. Now what am I? Okay, just copy it. Oh boy, you gotta love Max. Just drop it in the application folder.
Yeah.
So let me do that.
Okay.
Doing.
Send me an email with your new login.
I just hope I remember what the hell I put as a login. Well, because I put something like, this shit sucks, because I was so frustrated. My Skype name. What the hell did I set for a Skype name? And of course, this stuff probably not cached anywhere. Where's the form I filled out? Don't tell me I can't go back.
It's a special form.
Oh, it doesn't like it. What the hell did I use as a friggin' name?
Great.
I hate Skype. Skype just so stuck. Because all I want to give me is my old one, but the password doesn't work. Hmm. So I did the create account. Why don't they email you this shit, you know?
They should.
Well, that'd be a concept, huh?
You would think they'd email it to you.
Let me see. They gave me some kind of a 2-foot-long name token to try to recover my previous password, and then they wouldn't accept it. I was like, well, a lot of good that did.
Yeah, I wonder why Skype crapped out. Is it your old name?
No, it should be something about this crap sucks or something.
Samson, speak! Good boy.